The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That maybe somebody would put, just a little bit of money inside of the box to encourage them to be able to pay a college bill, but maybe that doesn't arrive quite when they want it to. And I think about different ones that, of course, have lost a husband or lost a wife, and they're sitting there, and now they're a widow or a widower, and they sit there perhaps all by themselves. I think about a man, perhaps, that is cut down in the prime of life, maybe because he has physical challenges, and lo, his mental capabilities are very strong and excited about continuing to be able to work. No jobs come his way. Maybe he'll sit in a chair for months or maybe even years on end, waiting for somebody to be able to call, and nobody calls. And so this morning, I would like to speak on surviving loneliness. Surviving loneliness. In the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 1, we see that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned, it says, from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into, now watch this, into the wilderness. Many times you'll see that Jesus went by himself to pray alone. Albert Einstein said this. He said, "It's strange that I'm known universally, but I feel very lonely." ABC News reported this, that in a study that took 9 years, they said, conducted by the University of California, the greatest death rate in America is not because of smoking, it's not because of drinking, it's not because of eating or lack of exercise, it's because of loneliness. So what do you do when you face loneliness? I know as a pastor, being a pastor, sometimes there's lonely times when you make a visit by yourself or you're standing beside the bedside of someone that's facing death. I know that as a pastor, there's times of counseling people, and sometimes there's times of that lonely feeling that a pastor would get. And I'm sure that everybody in this room faces loneliness in your life from time to time. So what is it that we can do to be able to not only recognize the loneliness, but to be able to survive the loneliness in which we face? Let me give you some statements to think about this morning. Number one, recognize that you are there by God's design. You are there by God's design. You know, the Bible says that the gifts and callings are without repentance. In other words, God is not going to change his mind that he has called us to do a certain thing. And just like a pastor is called, so is a police officer. Just like a police officer is called, so is a paramedic. Just like a paramedic is called, so is somebody that works in the fire department. Just like a pastor is called, so is those that are gainfully employed and fulfilling the will of God in their lives as they step out to do the will of God in their lives. Andrew Murray was a great missionary to South Africa, and he said it was lonely days when I first showed up in South Africa. Then all of a sudden, it was brought to my attention that God had placed me there. God is the one that put me in the place of my calling. He said, then I began to reminisce about how God worked in my life and how God prepared me for the very hour in which I'm standing in. And he said, as I begin to reminisce in my life about how God had prepared me for this very hour, I found rest in knowing that the same God that guided me is the same God that can help me. It's the same God that can give me a peace inside of my heart, because after all, it's a calling of God. Now, can I say, sometimes we go through the lonely hours, but in those lonely hours, you and I can face the fact that God is the one that's allowed us to be able to be in such a service. So it was with Moses as he would free those that was the Hebrews, but yet right after that, he found himself in a lonely place of Midian. So it is with Elijah, as Elijah would stand there and he would face the prophets that would mock and scorn the God of heaven, and he called down with 43 words praying, and God consumed that sacrifice, and yet now he finds himself running, if you will, from Jezebel and sitting underneath a juniper tree and wishing that he was dead. There was a lonely hour. So it was with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, being the one that spent time and being beaten by his own countrymen and yet left for dead and being stranded three separate times in that which was a sea, and being somebody that no doubt felt forsaken from time to time, but yet the Apostle Paul understood that that was a calling in the life. So might it be with Daniel in the lion's den, as Daniel faced the lions all by himself, but yet that was a calling in his life. So might it be with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they faced the burning fiery furnace because they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar in his wishful wants. And can I tell you, though they faced that fiery burning furnace, you'll see that Jesus was there with them in the fiery burning furnace. And can I tell you that they recognized it was God's design. You know, maybe one day you'll get cancer. I hope not. Maybe one day you'll get that which is heart struggles. I hope not. Maybe one day your mother-in-law will move in with you. I hope not. But can I tell you that you're going to face some things inside of your life? And as you face some things inside of your life, please understand it is there by design. We don't always live lives that's like the Texas State Fair. We don't always live lives like you're going down to Six Flags over Texas. That's not reality. Amen. Now, maybe you'd want it to be reality, but it's not reality. Oh, we get up early in the morning and we work late at night. We labor and we give our very best. But can I tell you, we understand this, that God has placed a calling in our lives. And that's why I appreciate the men and the ladies that are here today with our First Responder Sunday. Why? Because they are fulfilling their calling. And though sometimes it may be adverse and sometimes it may be difficult and sometimes it may be hard and sometimes nobody shows them appreciation or nobody steps out to say thank you or to shake a hand or treat them to a cup of coffee or pat them on the back. Can I tell you, as they are true to their calling, as you and I, as children of God, we also ought to be true to our calling. So how is it that I can face lonely times in my life? Statement number one, recognize that there is that by design. Statement number two, rest in the fact that you're not there by yourself. Rest in the fact that you're not there by yourself. You know, understand this. Rather than being regretful for that which you do not have, why don't we thank God for the things that we do have? Thank God that if you have a car that runs. Thank God if you have a house that has air conditioning in the summertime of Texas. Hey, thank God if you have people that love you and encourage you and stand beside you and try to walk beside you and try to be able to show you a direction in which to go. Hey, thank God if you have children, and thank God if you have grandchildren, and thank God if you have a wife that cares for you and stands beside you, or a husband that cares for you and stands beside you. We can be thankful for the things that we do have and not live in regret for the things. And by the way, you're going to have regretful times in your life. There's going to be times in your life when you went through some travail in your life and you're going to say, I wish I would have made a different decision. But you didn't make that decision. You can't live there all the days of your life. You can't go back and live in regret and say, well, I wish I would, and if I had to do it all over again. Sometime in your life, you've got to pick yourself up and just be desirous to go forward in your service for Jesus Christ. You've got a desire to be able to step up to the plate, and no matter what takes place in your life, don't live that life in regret where all of a sudden you go back and you're just living it over and over and over again. If you do this, what takes place is you're depriving people from the very person that God created you to be for the now. Amen. For the now. Amen. You know, God gives you grace. I preached a message not too long ago about grace in the nick of time. You know, God gives you grace in the nick of time. God will be there to be able to help you and to strengthen you. You can't look for grace ahead of time. And by the way, God's never late. God is never late. God is always on time. But understand that we can be people that say, well, you know, this is not what I thought it would be. And can I tell you, life is not what we thought perhaps it would be. But we are placed in the positions that we're placed in by God's design. And we can rest in the fact that rather than being there by yourself, understand that he sticketh closer than a brother. Understand that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Understand that he'll be there for you. Yes, like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were in the burning fiery furnace. The same God that was with them is the same God that is with you and can help you every single step of the way. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it says, it has not seen him, but neither it says, knoweth him, but ye know him," it says, "and he dwelleth with you, and he shall be with you." Over in Psalm 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, the Bible says this, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." It says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness." All right, so God says that he is there to be able to help and to encourage and to be able to fulfill. You know, years ago when World War II was at its peak, Franklin Roosevelt had an advisor. His name was Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins was an ornery man. Nobody liked Harry Hopkins. He had one of these type of personalities that when he walked in the room, you just knew he was going to rub somebody wrong. I mean, you know, he would speak his mind plus. But he just rubbed people wrong. Here he is, Mr. Roosevelt. And Mr. Roosevelt was questioned over and over again, "Why is it that you have him a part of your cabinet? I mean, don't you understand that he rubs people wrong every time he opens his mouth? He rubs people wrong." He said, "Yes, I know that." He said, "But I'm going to tell you something." He said, "He's a friend that will stand there no matter what comes my way." And he said, "When I walk in the room," he said, "it's nice just to see the face of a friend." Now, can I tell you, everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs somebody. And that's why I say with our police officers, and don't do this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody that's here, but don't treat these men and ladies like they're non-approachable. Don't have a fear in your heart like, "Well, you know, I just can't approach them because they wear a badge or because they work at a police department or something like that." No, no, no. These are real people. These are real people that have real wives. These are real people that have real children, and their wives need to be loved, and their children need to be loved, and they need to be respected. And, you know, we do a thing in our church when we have visiting preachers, and we just finished the Baptist Leadership Conference and had a bunch of preachers that came from the area and whatnot and attended, but we had speakers that came in from different parts of the regions of the country, and we tell our young people, "Hey, go up there and get your Bible signed. Get your Bible signed. These are great men of God. Get your Bible signed." Now, can I tell you, it would not be wrong for you to go to a police officer sometime and say, "Hey, would you sign my Bible?" Amen. Go to somebody that works at the fire department, "Would you sign my Bible?" Amen. You say, "But why?" Because I tell you for sure, they need somebody to pray for them too. Amen. They need somebody to encourage them too. Oh, you say, "But preacher, you're just trying to pick somebody up." Well, it sure beats putting somebody down. You in our country where you've got all the naysayers, and I wasn't raised that way. I'm sorry, I was not raised that way. I was raised that way to respect different people that held different positions. And by the way, that's the way it needs to be inside of your home. That's the way it needs to be inside of our community. Understand and recognize that when you go through the times of loneliness, those times of loneliness, understand God has allowed you to be there by design. Recognize that he is the one that's allowed that to come in your life. Then rest in the fact that you're not there by yourself. Rest in the fact that you don't have to regret those things that you did not do. Allow God to help you and to be able to push you in a direction that you ought to go. Statement number three, then realize that sometimes loneliness and a trial is the only way for the Holy Spirit to be able to work with you. You know, sometimes when a person gets down, that is a time where God says, "Okay, now I can help you." Sometimes I'm preaching tonight on how to overcome pride. Can I tell you, sometimes when we're all puffed up and we think that we're somebody and we think that the world ought to be able to lay at our feet, and we think, boy, I tell you what, the reason that this is being blessed is because of me. Oh, no, 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 no. By the way, the reason that Parkside Baptist Church is being blessed is because of him. And we need to understand, and we need to recognize that when you go through those lonely times, when you go through those trials, sometimes that's the way that the Holy Spirit is now going to be able to help. Luke chapter 4, in verse 2, the Bible says, being 40 days tempted, it says, of the devil. In those days, it says, he did eat nothing, talking about our Lord. And when it was ended, the Bible says, and afterward, hungered. And so our Lord spent those lonely times, if you will, but during those lonely times, he was communing with his heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but boy, there's been many times, and being the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, that I'll get back there behind those old buses, and I'll walk that field, and I'll just pray. I'll pray for members that's having difficulty, or if we've had challenges or whatever, I'll just pray. And it's something to be able to get on your knees and to be able to pray and let the God of heaven be able to work in your life. Let the God of heaven be able to hear your request and let him be able to work things out. By the way, he can work things out a whole lot better than you and I can work things out. He can do that. Well, I remember one time when Jonathan was just a little tight, and we lived in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at the time, served at the Central Baptist Church there off Highway 49. And I remember Jonathan had come down with such a heavy, heavy cold, and the fever was so very high. And I told my dear wife, we need to go over to the hospital. And so she drove, and I held Jonathan. And as I held Jonathan and she drove down to the hospital, we pulled up into the parking lot area, and I looked at my wife, and I said, you know, isn't it amazing how we have decided that we're going to go and do it, but we've not prayed one time. We've not asked the Lord to do something in his life, not one time. We've not trusted God, not one time. I said, let's do this. Let's pray right here, and let's pray that God would break that fever. You know, we prayed, and can I say that God broke that fever because he is who he is? You know, sometimes I do believe that if we're not careful, we kind of leave him out. Even when it's little emergencies, we leave him out. Oh, by the way, don't wait, if you will, until it becomes a big emergency. Just decide that you can even take the little things to him, the minor things to him. He's a God that hears the little prayers as well as the big prayers. He's a God that cares about you in every waking hour of your life, and he wants to be able to work in your life and to be able to commune with you. And so we realize, okay, I'm in the predicament that I'm in, or yes, I'm in the job that I'm in. Oh, yes, I have the event coming in my life that I have. But realize that God has allowed that to be there by his design. Rest in the fact that you don't have to live in regret because of something that you did not do or something that you should have done. Rest in the fact that he is there with you. Then realize this, that in that lonely time, he's not just there with you. He is reaching out to try to help you. Then statement number next, rejoice. Rejoice in the usefulness, if you will, that follows the loneliness. Rejoice. You ever do this? You ever are in a state of mind where you're putting everything out and you're just thinking about maybe a problem, or you're thinking about maybe an event that's coming up, and you begin to plan things. We have this thing that we use on our staff here, and it's called Asana. Asana. It's on our smartphones, and it used to be I keep 3x5 cards beside my bed. And when I think of something, you know, maybe late at night, you know how it is, and your mind, you know, just rolls, and you got so much to do. And so I'd think of something, and I'd write it down on a 3x5 card. Once I wrote it down, I could sleep in peace because I knew I wasn't going to forget it by the next day. Now we have this thing, it's called Asana, where you can take and you can punch it in, and I don't have to turn on a light or anything like that. Just grab the smartphone. My wife is over there, and she's having heavenly dreams, and I'll grab that smartphone, and I'll just type it in right there. Then I can assign it to what day or task it to a person or whatever, and can I tell you, then I can lay back down and just rest and sleep the rest of the night. Well, you know that's what God wants us to do? Yeah. God wants us to come to him, and he wants us to bring our burdens to him. You know, you don't have to go through this life all by yourself. You don't have to go through this life wondering, is God going to work for me? Is God going to even understand that I've got the challenges and I've got the difficulties? No, 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 no. You don't have to go through life that way. Matter of fact, over in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible says, and when the devil had ended, the Bible says, all, it says, the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned, it says, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went, it says, a fame of him through all the region around about. Now, why? Because he had met with God in a very personal way, and the Holy Spirit of God, yea, the Spirit of God, he himself was able to guide him through that victory. Oh, you think about Joseph. Joseph was left in a pit. The Bible says a dry pit, if you will, like Jeremiah was. And he's left in a dry pit by his brothers there in the wilderness. And then he was sold into Potiphar's house. And then he went to prison from there. And then he was passed over and not being the one that was chosen by the butler to be able to go up, if you will. The butler didn't remember. And there, as he appears before Pharaoh. And then you see that he was given that which is the power to be able to be second only under Pharaoh. But it came in time. Get what I said? It came in time. You know, you might not get everything that you want right now. But as you walk with God and you allow God to give you the patience to be able to wait, and you go through the trials while you're waiting, can I tell you, God is the one that can raise something up to be able to meet the need that you have in your life. They say that 4 out of 10 top executives that are entrepreneurs, 4 out of 10 of them fail and fail miserably. Out of that 50% never come back to try again, simply because of the fact that they tried something and it did not work and then they gave up. Well, no, I'm saying this, if you try something and it does not work, listen, if you sure it be the will of the Lord, then ask for wisdom how to try it differently and step back in, but meet with God and let God be the one that can help you to understand how to do it right the next time. May I say this as I close? We understand this. We understand that God is the one that allows us by design to be able to go through things, by design. Now, can I tell you that when I became allergic to sugar, that white refined sugar, that was by design. Now, I don't necessarily like it, but it's by design. When I came to Texas, I thought that Texas was like the desert area. I thought that it would be cool in the morning time, maybe hot in the afternoon and cool in the evening. I didn't know that in the summer months, it's just called hot. First year I came here, I saw somebody frying an egg on the front of their hood of their car, and I said, you have got to be kidding me. When you go outside and you breathe heat, somebody said, welcome to Texas. By the way, they've also said this, welcome to Texas. If you don't like the weather now, it can change in 10 minutes. I found that out to be true. Now, can I tell you, listen, God knows the state, your physical state, your mental state, your spiritual state, the state that you find yourself in. God knows that. And sometimes God allows you to be in such a place by design. Oh, but preacher, the child says, I don't like taking driver's ed, but the rest of America likes you taking driver's ed. And you might not like going through it, but can I tell you, it's by design. Oh, but preacher, I tell you, I've watched some of the police officers that are here, and they'll wear the protective vest and stuff like that, and I think, man, that has got to be hot. Now, I don't know. It might not be. It might come with inner air condition. I'm not really sure. But can I tell you, I think, wow, you know, that has got to be hot. Then I look at some of these people that work for these tax collecting things, you know, where they're out there, and they're in those costumes. You know, I don't know what they are, but they're in these costumes and they're jumping up and down and running back and forth. And I think, man, I tell you, I wouldn't want to do that for nothing. But, you know, can I tell you, there are other people that would not want to do what you do for nothing. We've got a guy in our church, and he's a mechanic. And can I tell you, he loves what he does. He loves what he does. Man, he'll get in there and he'll tear it apart. And now, by the way, I could do that. I could tear it apart. I just couldn't figure out how to put it back together again. But he'll get in there and he'll tear it apart. And he tells me about different things that he's built and different things that he's working on. And it's Brother Kazar. And Brother Kazar, you know, they've flown him because of his expertise over to Germany to work on the airplane engines. And he's flown to different places around the world because of his expertise and stuff like that. But I tell you, I don't know anything about that. But I can tell you this, he's enjoying his calling. And you're going to go through the sad times. You're going to go through the lonely times. You're going to go through the state of almost like depression type of time. But can I tell you, God can help you through that. Now, how does he help us? You realize, number one, that he has put you there by design. Don't get upset about it. You realize this, that you can rest in him to be able to help you every single step of the way. And so don't live in regret, because God is the one that you can rest in. We realize, statement number three, that during those lonely times that we can very closely get to God. And then lastly, and I'm done, you rejoice in your youthfulness, if you will, and the energy that you've got, and also maybe you're a little bit older, and so the usefulness that you have. So you can rejoice in the way that God made you, whether it's with the youth or whether it's being useful in all that you do. You can rejoice in what God is doing in your life, because that follows the lonely times. May I say this morning that God wants to help us to be able to overcome the loneliness. And God can help you too. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.